Dr. Dung, who is with Asia University. He's with the Department of Healthcare Administration in Taiwan. And his research is in collaboration with Min-Ching Ye, who is with the SUNY School of Public Health at Hunter College in New York. So Dr. Dung is going to be discussing impacts of eating alone and food intake on all-cause and metabolism-related mortality among the elderly in Taiwan.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. And it's my pleasure to be here to present a preliminary work. Actually, Dr. Ye is one of my classmates. We went to the PhD program, UNC Chapel Hill, together. So we collaborate on this issue. And we know that when people get old, there's a physiological decline in food intake. Then data and studies from both cohort and cross-sectional surveys clearly indicate that the substantial decline in energy intake and the quantity of food consumed with aging. And older people, they are vulnerable to malnutrition or undernutrition. They are high risk group for malnutrition and undernutrition. And people who live alone, they are more likely to eat alone and skip meals more often than those who live with family. And studies show that the mealtime social interactions influence food intake, and the presence of others during meals increases calorie intake, especially with those who present are family members. And so eating alone more likely to live alone. And we all know if you live alone, older people, they are more likely to be living alone. And we all know that's a sign for lack of social support. And we all know that the health protective effect of social support and social relationship, they are well documented. And when you get old, it's a period when you start losing your social network members, because you know my father used to tell me when he was young, and he got wedding invitations from males most of the time. But as he, you know, get older and older, and he attend funerals more and more often. So that's why you know when you are old, you will experience transition to widowhood, and you lost your friends, siblings, and other kins. So your strength of your social network is diminishing. And so that will lead to social isolation. And social isolation makes older people vulnerable to social, physical, and psychological health risks. So, and however, we also want to explore the gender difference in this study. We want to see over the life course, because there are literature show women are more likely to maintain social networks. And this social involvement of women can be an advantage in old age. It's always, I think most often, it's the mother or the mom who remember, oh, whose birthday is coming, so we should, you know, get together, and yeah, that kind of stuff. So women, they are, and this social involvement in the, you know, investment on maintaining the social network and get benefit when people are old. So it is speculated that there are gender differences in effect of eat alone on nutrition risk across gender. And so in this preliminary study, we examined the relative importance of eat alone in predicting the survival status among a representative sample of elders in Taiwan over a period of 8 years. And here is the method. We, you know, it's a secondary data analysis. We got the data from the survey of health and living status of the elderly in Taiwan. And it's launched, it's a longitudinal survey launched in 1989. In 1989, a representative sample of elders in Taiwan aged 60 or over was selected. Then we re-interviewed in 93, 96, 99, 2003, 2007, and it's a continuing survey. So by 1999, they ate detailed nutritional information. So that's why our study, picked 1999 wave. And we linked the survey data to the death certificate file. It's maintained by the health ministry. So, and we link the two, so we will be able to examine the effect of eating alone and the frequency of dietary intake, how they impact on their survival. So we, because in the death certificate file, they have the ICD codes for their causes of death. And we use proportional hazard model to predict the all-cause mortality and the metabolism-related mortality, and we separate the analysis by gender. And when we modeling, all-cause is easy. It's when you are dying, it's very clear-cut. But when modeling metabolism-related causes of death, we treat all those other who die from other causes of disease as censored case. And eat alone was measured by a single item. It's in the survey, they asked the participant, are there others present during your meals? And there's another list of items asking about their nutrition intake frequency. So participants were asked about their frequency of consuming the following food items, like a meat, fish, eggs, milk, and dairy product. Yeah, that kind of food list. So if you score higher, it indicates a more balanced and better dietary intake. And other predictors of the survival status, we control for age and socioeconomic status. We use two indicators for socioeconomic status. One is the education, it's obvious. And another one is ethnicity. Ethnicity here refers to the two major ethnic groups in Taiwan. It's the native Taiwanese and the mainlanders. Mainlanders, they are from mainland China, long time ago, around 1949. Because this is older people, so they were born like before 1920, something. So around 1949, there was a civil war. So the chairman Mao, communist defeated the nationalist. And the nationalist, the Chiang Kai-shek, a lot of mainlanders at that time followed Chiang Kai-shek to Taiwan. And there's it's a large scale immigration. It was estimated like 1 million mainlanders moved from Taiwan around 1949. And other health-related measures here, we use global self-rated health, BMI, and functional status, ADL, yeah, and the presence of any serious disease. And these are this is how we select metabolism-related causes of death. It's a crude measure, anyway. It's debatable, And we just pick the causes of death just remotely relate to metabolism syndrome. So we pick those causes of death, the hypertensive disease, ischemia disease. Oh, sorry. So I just want to show you result very quickly. I only have three tables. So you can see here, this is the description of the descriptive data. You can see the distribution. There are 1,209 males and the female. Usually, this is unique because usually female live longer. So the number of female elders should be, bigger. But this is because the immigration, the 1949, around that time, the people who followed Chiang Kai-shek to Taiwan, they were young soldiers, males. So that's why this is different. And I want to point out the eat alone. You can see, eat alone is more detrimental to male elders, but not to female. And for metabolism-related causes of death, and both of them, not significant predict for their survival. So the main finding and conclusion here, there are 2176 respondents age 70 in 1999, and I think 46% of them died by 2007, and among them 377 died from the metabolism related causes of death, and eating alone was a significant predictor of all-cause mortality for older males, but not predictive of survival status among female elders. And in terms of metabolism-related causes of death, eat alone was not predictive of survival. And so, the last slide here, I think the last two, the eating alone, in our conclusion, eating alone is more than just eating meals alone. It's kind of a sign for lacking of social support and a sign for social isolation. So nutrition interventions and programs for older adults should not be just focused on what the elders eat. Equally important is how to prevent older adults from being socially isolated. And one of the factors we can do is, you know, the transportation. It's really critical to maintain older people's social network. If you cannot go anywhere, then you know you don't make friends anymore. So nutrition and nutrition intervention should not focus only on the content of what the people, older people eat, and also we have to consider their networks and isolate. So I think my presentation will end here. Thank you.